Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune into how you feel, because it's time to stretch. I'm Sinead O'Moore, and this season is here because of the support of Vitabiotics, my season 4 sponsor. From pregnant care to well kid, well woman and well man, they have a product range to support us throughout every stretch of life. Okay, this is a good one. It's more personal. It's more where I'm at in my own stage of stretch right now. And it is with a woman who I am so thankful to call my friend, Simone Gannon. And once I let you in on our chats, you'll see why I have her in my real life. She's also 4 days older than me, and together we are staring down the aisle of almost 40. Simone Scrives is the beauty editor for The Examiner magazine. She is a hugely respected voice on skincare, an advocate of skin health, not just aesthetics. But she is so much more than her beauty Insta squares, and we go deep into our hormonal changes, our fertility window closing, our midlife meltdowns, our wrinkles, and exciting career pivots, because fuck it, if not now, when? We are almost 40, and our 30s gave us so much. But it's time to adapt our lives, our mindsets, our health and our energy, because there is a whole new stretch coming. And I am so lucky to go through it all with this guest.
Simone, my wonderful friend.
Hello, Sinead.
Or that others know as Simone Scrives. Yes. Or that you kind of are going more Simone Gannon now that you're the beauty editor.
I am.
Of The Examiner.
Yes, that is my real name.
You are joining me on Stretch Marks podcast. We have already, actually, the reason that we even know each other is because of podcasts.
I know, I was thinking about that this morning.
That is how we originally met.
Yeah.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And thank you for your friendship in those 4 years.
Oh my God, stop. It's been a pleasure. Pleasure's been all mine. That was actually the first podcast I ever did. So this feels very...
And you're back for more.
Full circle.
Full circle. We have had, we continued our conversations in those 4 years. Mm-hmm. They became slightly more boozy and ranty over delicious wine. But there is very little that wasn't put on the table in those 4 years.
This is true.
One of which was our age.
Yes, well, we are...
Which is rarely mentioned publicly.
We are
publicly.
A couple of days apart.
We are.
Age-wise.
Yeah.
So I just feel like we're aging together. So it's amazing.
I know.
To go through these
it's
stages.
It's like we're little twin flames.
Yes, we are.
So I think you're the 19th.
I'm the 19th.
I'm the 23rd.
Yes.
And we are literally in our final days towards 40.
I know. And we said we would make our 39th year the best
healthy.
Ever. But
yeah.
You've been sick for weeks now.
My last known date of feeling well was the 26th of July.
Yeah.
So far I've had 3 days of wellness in my 39th year.
So it wasn't really the plan, but...
It's not going the way it needed to.
No.
I'm in decline. You are soaring.
No.
Towards 40.
I really haven't. I'd love to say I am, but I'm propped up by multivitamins, skin supplements, breath work... You name it.
But we need that. We made a text promise to each other to actually change our get-togethers.
Yeah.
From, you know, just moving the occasional one away from, you know, delicious wine and towards health-related activities in the pursuit of arriving at 40 in some kind of shape. mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Yeah. Breath work is off the table currently for me. But you do inspire me in how you are taking care of yourself, particularly your skin, as we age, which is something that I, when I get on the other side of this, will totally be into. Because as I sit here today looking at you, it's upsetting me. You look so bloody young and gorgeous.
Stop.
I am inflamed. I am swollen. I am puffy. And you gave me this beautiful Summer Fridays jet lag mask as you walked in the door. And there is nothing more, I think, that I need right now.
Yeah, a little pick me
up. And a lie down. But why or how or where did you get started on? Because it's, I imagine for a lot of women, they do arrive at the age that we're at. And then they start thinking, okay, I need to start looking at my skincare. I need to start like, shit, where did all these wrinkles come from? You've been on this game for a while.
Yeah.
So probably before you needed it, I would have said.
Yeah.
But why then? And what do you think it's brought to now?
Well, I didn't really start looking after my skin until I was in my, I would say, early to mid 20s. I had always...
So when you were a child?
When I was a child, yeah. We were living in Singapore at the time and I kind of used sunscreen haphazardly and I had a couple of nice products, but I didn't really have a routine. I didn't really understand what any of them did. And I remember being sort of firmly influenced by two things that happened in the space of maybe 2 years. The first was I was friends with this very glamorous woman in Singapore and she told me that Estee Lauder Advanced Night Repair Eye Cream was a game changer and if I started using it now, I would reap the benefits later years. And she was a little bit older than me and she had beautiful skin. And I thought, okay, I'm going to buy that. So I bought that and then that's when I started sort of looking around at other products and thinking, I wonder what that one will do. And, you know, nothing too crazy. And then within sort of 18 months of that, my mum got skin cancer on her face. And that was extremely shocking for me, for us as a family. The fact that it was on her face, she had to have surgery, a skin graft. It was so shocking to us. You know, coming from Ireland, I think there's this sort of, I don't know, incorrect view is the only way I can put it, that because we don't get a huge amount of sun,
we don't need
that. We don't need it and so on. But, you know, UVA and UVBs are rays are around all the time. And, you know, we know now there's a lot more education now. But I think when we were kids and, you know, with our parents, there wasn't any awareness. There wasn't much education around this. So that was a real turning point for me because my mom had beautiful skin and she'd always used great products and things like that. So it was very shocking that this had happened. I remember
panic. She wasn't sitting outside with the tinfoil.
No. I mean, what her doctor told her at the time, which we're hearing more and more now, which I find just incredible, is that a lot of these cases of skin cancer can now, in some research papers, be traced back to one particular savage sunburn that you got when you were in your 20s or in your 30s. Because basically the damage to the cells was so severe that they never kind of healed fully. And ultimately they're able to trace
certain
cases. Does
she remember any particular time?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we, you know, like a lot of Irish people, we would go on a summer holiday every year. And I remember my parents using like SPF 15 baby oil. I mean, there was hours spent on the sun loungers.
That's what you did. That's you what were you judged did. About the quality of your holiday based on the depth of your tan 100%. When you came back.
What you wanted to hear was, oh my God, look at the colour of you. And that was it. Done, box ticked, you know. So yeah, so
I still have that goal even though I don't pursue it. But I do still have that goal. That's still in me. It's like, oh, I'm gonna go away, I'm gonna get tan, I'm gonna come home and I'm gonna be gorgeous. And then you're like, obviously I can't anymore because of the dangers.
Tan. Yeah.
But like that still sounds lovely.
Yeah. So that's basically what the doctor told my mum, that it had come from this, you know, period of time where she was on holidays.
I mean, look, we've all done that.
We've all done it. We've all done it.
We've all done that as teenagers and early 20s when we were away.
Yeah.
You know, we were up all night in clubs and we were on the sun loungers all day.
Yeah.
Think of the cellular damage.
I know. I know. It's incredible. Think about it. So in a way, as a result of that happening to my mum, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but from that time on, I was kind of lucky enough to be aware then from my mid-20s of this. And so I became fanatical
and
about
you were living
sunscreen.
In the sun.
And I was living in the sun, yes. And also once I educated myself a bit more around this time, I remember realizing that I had pigmentation on my forehead. So I started reading about this online. I had this sort of mask-like, you know, sort of faded brown sort of splodge across my forehead. But it was kind of mild. And when I had makeup on, you couldn't really see it. And so this happening to my mom and, you know, various other things. And my interest in skincare had gone up. And I realized I had pigmentation. And, you know, then I started looking into other products and so on. So basically from my mid-20s, so that was maybe 15 years ago, is when I sort of started my skincare journey.
Well done for doing it, because the impact, let me tell you, side by side is.
But, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I think as women, we are sort of configured to still think it's not enough. We don't look as good as we could. We could be doing more. I should have started using retinol earlier. I should have done this. I should have. So, you know, it's a pity, because it's never enough. Like, society will never let us reward ourselves and say, wow, well done you. You started wearing sunscreen in your 20s consistently. That's having a great effect now and will continue to have a great effect as you get older. But instead, we get bogged down in what else we could have done. You know, I'm almost 40 now. If I'd done that, would the fine lines on my forehead be, you know, milder? Would the laxity? No, but you know what I mean? Like the changes that happen to us, you know, we can never sort of reward ourselves. It's always, we could have done more. I could look better.
You've circled in this industry, though, for so long that I'd imagine that messaging can be quite powerful to your subconscious. Like for those that don't have to consider beauty, that don't have to consider skincare and looking at impact and effect and very much being educated in what all these products are doing, but also kind of having to live up to what all these products do. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not in that, I can imagine you can easily breeze through 10, 15 years from mid-20s to 40 and arrive at 40 and being like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you were so, I'd imagine it can seep into the subconscious that I have to take care of myself a certain way and I have to live a certain way and I have to look a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of expectation there, I think.
Were there times when you were feeling a little bit more vulnerable where that was too loud?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like any woman, I have had lots of changes over the years and, you know, many of them have impacted on my skin. And one thing you and I have talked about quite a lot of late is sort of hormonal changes that are on the way, you know, that we're kind of feeling the beginnings of now. So a couple of months ago, I had just an explosion of hormonal activity on my chin and jaw. And I wouldn't be somebody that would really experience breakouts. I've been quite lucky. I'd have reasonably calm skin. And this has happened to me before. So, you know, I sort of had a toolbox of what I was going to do and how I was going to treat this. But I think it's still, there's sort of a layer of pressure for me where I'm online and, you know, I'm open about it. I'll talk about my hormonal activity and the things I've done to treat it and, the, you know, what I'm doing. But I think there's this kind of like, oh, well, look at her skin now. It's not, but nobody's skin is perfect all the time, you know, and we're women, like everything impacts our skin, you know, our lifestyle, hormones, medication, stress. It's a continuous, you know, cycle of dealing with what's next. And I think the one thing I've always tried to put across is that, you know, the main thing is consistency. It's just taking the time out to look after yourself and your skin on the regular. You don't have to be reinventing the wheel. You don't have to be doing everything that's on offer, every treatment, every product. It's just keeping it at a level that's, you know, easy for you to manage and that's good for your skin. And actually that will do a lot of the heavy lifting when dealing with a lot of these changes.
Especially when the pursuit of youth is expensive.
It's very expensive.
Very expensive.
It is, yeah.
And we are, I don't know, maybe it's my age. Maybe it's also being on the outer realms of Insta. But I feel like I'm being herded more and more towards the expensive side of skincare. And not just when it comes to the product, but more when it comes to the procedures.
Yes, the treatments.
The treatments. It's a lot. Like if you were to actually, And this is how I feel of it. I'm not sure if you remember the show, The Swan, that used to be out. That's how I feel like I need to be treated. I need to actually go into a villa for a week and have some blokes say, right, from my forehead to my toenails, what needs to be fixed?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of trying to filter that.
Yeah.
Mainly because I cannot afford it. And I feel like I shouldn't have to need it. But I am also a little bit on the vain side. Like I do like when I look in the mirror and I say, yeah, you're holding up okay. I feel like emerging from the last few years when it was easy to sort of live relatively unvain because nobody was seeing you.
Yes.
And coming out of where I'm at my stage of like having small children, getting a bit of sleep back, getting my hormones back, I'm ready to kind of be like, okay, mama's going to look like how I thought I would at 40 now. Thank you very much. Yeah. Not in her leggings and her like sweaty hair stuck to her head.
Yeah.
I want to feel a certain way and look a certain way, but I know I cannot afford all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm trying to filter it down and be like, okay, what will make actually a bit of difference in the pursuit of staying that little bit more youthful?
I really think it's, you know, it's not just skincare, obviously. Mm. I think, you know, it's a combination of things. It's what you're putting into your body. It's how much sleep you're getting. It's how much stress you're dealing with. And I know, you know, we're
crumbling next to you, Simone. We're
all dealing with this, but it really is a combination of that. And
what do I need them to stick into my face?
Well, you don't need to stick anything into your face.
I'm so clueless at this that I genuinely wouldn't even know what to ask. And therefore, I feel quite vulnerable because I feel like if I went in and just been like, fix me, they'd be like, well, that'll be 20,000 euro. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I would obviously win for the hills. But I just don't know what for. And obviously, everyone's skin is different. So I'm not asking you to prescribe a treatment plan or anything like that. But I just feel like there's so much now on offer.
Mm.
Like it was Botox for a long time.
Yeah.
And now it's the Profilo. Mm-hmm. It's your, I know are we a bit against fillers right now? Is that kind of?
Oh, they're still around. Yeah. Microneedling is massive.
Microneedling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what is good for just stimulating that little bit of youth retention?
Well, I think the first thing to say there is that, you know, 80% of how your skin looks and feels and the health of your skin is down to your at-home skincare routine.
Okay.
So only 20% is in clinic and is treatments. Now that 20% can make a huge difference when you're really going for your 80% at home, right? So you're doing the most for yourself at home.
There's no point spending thousands.
100%.
You're still not using what you need to use at home on a regular basis.
I mean, if you're not wearing sunscreen every day, if you're not, you know, using an antioxidant, if you're not using a retinoid, you know, those are the things you should be focusing on using, getting that routine up. And then after several months, when you see the benefits of that routine and you decide, actually, I just want a little bit more, that's when you go into a skin clinic and think, OK, what do I want? Do I want a skin treatment? Do I want aesthetic treatments? Do I want a combination of both? I do feel personally, as I get older, I feel like these treatments are kind of the icing on the cake as opposed to the cake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really important that you do the most at home, and you can do so much, especially with, you know, retinoids, for example. They are really the gold standard. I mean, we talk about them all the time, but they really are. So if you're using those, you're getting fantastic results, you're doing the most you can, then it's fantastic to go and get another treatment, you know, something on top like microneedling or Profilo, like you said, or PRP or whatever it may be. But I really think it's so important to get the basics and get your 80% going at home before you look at that, because ultimately it's the maintenance. Like I said earlier, it's the level you get yourself to. It's the consistency. That's what's doing the heavy lifting for you. These treatments are phenomenal, don't get me wrong, but they need to be on top of a solid foundation.
Is that how you do it when you don't want to make it look like you've done it? Because you can walk into any retail store in Dublin and see 18-year-olds who clearly have already had some kind of procedure done.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you just want to take them aside and be like, maybe that's just the L1 mother in me, but I just want to take them aside and be like, oh my God, what are you doing to your face?
I know.
Is that just because people that don't have to have proper qualifications can actually administer?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big problem in Ireland. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, comms about that the last few months. Different societies are trying to, you know, change legislation or bring in new legislation around this because, you know, ultimately things like, you know, Botox and filler are medical products, especially Botox. It's a medical product, so it should only be administered by a medical practitioner. And, you know, that's a doctor. I mean, even there are some fantastic nurse injectors in Ireland, but they are technically not allowed to do it. But that doesn't stop, you know, other sort of micro industries popping up around it. Now we have, you know, Botox available in, you know, in nail salons. Like you just said, we've been reading about makeup artists are administering it, you know, various places like that. And I do think that's very worrying.
Does that scare you?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly worrying because it's, you know, these aren't treatments to be messed with. I mean, these are serious. They can cause, you know, atrophy in the muscles. They can really cause serious damage if they're done incorrectly. So I think you really need to go to see somebody who knows their stuff and is recommended, and you can see their work if that's what you want to do. But I don't think, you know, Botox, I think Botox is fantastic, but I don't think it's the first step.
Okay. Unless there's like a very small specific part of your face that you just like, I just really want to fix.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that line.
It's not a solution for, it's not going to solve, oh, my skin looks crap. My skin looks crap. I'm aging. I'm getting older. My skin is dull and dry. That is not what Botox is for. Botox is not going to do anything to your skin. It's not going to plump, hydrate, you know, do any of that. All it does is freeze the muscle underneath the skin so that the skin smooths out and the wrinkles are less. If you have dry, dull skin when you go in to get Botox, you're still going to have dry, dull skin after you get Botox. So, you know, it's back to that. I'm going to sound like a broken record on this, but it's back to that. You know, 80% of you doing the work at home and then maybe getting a treatment. And then at some point, go for it. Like, get Botox.
But good, because it puts the control back in your hands.
100%.
You know, we are living in a cost of living crisis. And for women at this age who are probably still in the childcare zone, who are probably still, you know, in high mortgage zones, like having that disposable income with the amount of pressure that comes with approaching 40 that says, well, you still have to look a certain way now, but it's getting more harder to achieve and it's getting more expensive to achieve. Knowing that you can actually control some of it at home, that's quite liberating. That's because you don't hear that. No. I don't hear that enough. I'm feeling that pressure to kind of make those appointments. And look, I may in the near future, especially when I come out of this, because I look absolutely rotten. But it's, that makes that kind of, that makes me feel a lot more empowered about the situation. But how we look is only one element of approaching this next new decade in our life. How do you feel?
I feel good. And actually what I was going to say there when you were talking about sort of all the things we can do, I definitely feel in the last couple of years of my 30s that the balance has shifted in terms of where my priorities are. I definitely want to look good. You know, I want my skin to look good and all of that. But actually, I want to feel good more than I want to look good. And it's so funny that I'm saying that, because when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I could give two hoots about supplementing, vitamins, you know, working out, eating a certain way. It was all about the outside. How did I look? How did my skin look? How did my body look? How did my hair look? Whatever. And it just is really a natural sort of process that occurs, that once you, you know, for me anyway, once I tipped over mid 30s and started approaching 40, you know, things change. You know, your hormones are moving around a bit. You're feeling different. You know, your body is changing. You're more tired. There's various things going on in your life. And that for me has what's kind of taken priority really in the last, I would say, 2 or 3 years.
You've spoken quite publicly and quite powerfully about the impact of anxiety. Do you think it's been since that episode of anxiety that your reflection on life has changed?
Oh, 100%.
And the quality of life.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, we've touched on this before chatting about it. And I really, in that period of time where I was sort of, you know, in the midst of it, in the horrors of anxiety, I just remember thinking, I cannot believe I feel this bad. I never in my life thought I would feel this bad, you know, physically, mentally. It was very physical for me, the anxiety. And it was very debilitating and just incredibly upsetting. And I felt like I lost my power in that period because I felt so weak physically. You know, I had headaches and nerve pain and back pain and neck pain, and I couldn't sleep and I was having nightmares and, you know, breathing issues. And oh, just it was a horrendous period of time, and it went on for quite a long time. So I kind of, you know, you start to trick yourself that you're never going to get out of this. And thank God, I mean, touch wood and all that, that I'm firmly on the other side of that now. And it's amazing that I can say that. But I will do anything to never end up there again. Mm. Never. And I have changed my mindset as a result. My priorities have changed. Everything has changed. You know, my health and the health of my family as a result is non-negotiable. That's the most important thing. If I'm not healthy and well, everything else is falling away. You know, nothing will work.
So what does that look like? What are you now saying no to? And what are you being so diligent about that it has to be a part of your life?
Well, I think one of the big things that was causing me huge amounts of stress during that period was work. I had mm-hmm. too much on. I was working, you know, 6-7 days a week. It was constant.
Which is, when you work for yourself, it's really challenging to find those boundaries.
Yeah, it's very hard to say no, right? Yeah. I mean, it's you know, there's peaks and troughs with this when you're working for yourself, and you're always worried that if you say no,
yeah, that's it.
That's it, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get more work for a while or whatever it might be. And so, you know, in addition to all of that going on, you know, I had all the regular life things. You know, I was homeschooling my son. This was during COVID, and there was various other stressors going on that everybody else was experiencing. And I just had to take a look and think, right, well, what has to go here? Because I cannot keep doing all of this. I'm just continuously hurting myself. And then as a result, I'm hurting the people around me. It's not fair on my family and my friends, because I'm continuously, you know, doing this to myself. I won't take the foot off. And I decided I was taking the foot off. And I actually had a period of nothing. I just let everything go. And I was like, I can't do this anymore because I'm not well. I'm not going to get better. And I was crying all the time. It was crazy. Like, I was not myself at all. And so I sort of did that. And then in combination, I had a really stern talking to from my GP, who was amazing. And my husband also gave me a stern talking to. And, you know, it all kind of came together to sort of make a path for me, make a clearing, you know. And for the first time, I was able to go, okay, I know how to get through this. I know how to, you know, fix this. And obviously, you know, it wasn't instant by any means. It took a long time. But I know what the triggers are, and I know what's too much for me now. And so I'm really great now at saying no. I quite enjoy it. You know, I'm like, no, I'm not available. I can't attend. I feel no stress about that anymore.
Do you think that's also from age? Because I think there's a certain courage that we take on. Like, we just don't give a shit about stuff as much.
No, I definitely feel that. Excuse me. I definitely feel that as well. That my
I'm not trying to prove as much as I used to have to prove.
No, it's like we had these, I don't know, my radar for detecting BS now is just so finely tuned. And I don't have time. Like, I really don't have time. We are all so busy in our lives with family and friends and everything. And I want to prioritize the important stuff. And that's what I make time for. And, you know, I think as well with COVID, right, a lot of us experienced some really great clarity around that time. And
after some deep burnout.
Yes, after some deep burnout, 100%. And I just don't have time for, you know, to use that great phrase, I don't have time for anything that doesn't serve me, you know, because it is true. I mean, we, you know, I think one of the things about getting older as well is the, you know, the kind of sharp focus that you have around aging. You know, you're not going to be young forever. You're getting old. Your kids are growing up. Your parents are aging in front of you. I'm very aware of how fast time is going. Mm. And I don't want to look back and say, oh, well, I'm really glad I sent that email, or I'm really glad I went to that meeting. I mean, that's, nobody's going to say that. No one is going to look back and think, I'm so glad I worked like a dog for years and years. But we are going to look back and think, well, I was a really good mum and I did my best and I spent as much time as I could with my family and I made good friends and I was a good person. And you'd hope that other people will say that about you, because that's all that's left at the end of the day is memories of your life and of the people that are in it. Nobody remembers work. Nobody remembers, you know, money and the stress you had around all of that. None of that matters. Obviously, it's important for our day to day, but, you know, bigger picture, it's really not.
Hormonal fluctuations can begin long before we notice any change in our periods. Changes in mood, energy, mental clarity, headaches or trouble sleeping. The symptoms of perimenopause can begin for us in our 30s, and it is a whole new stretch. I want to get ahead of it. I want to know as much as I can about it. I want to understand the symptoms and the ways I can help myself physically, emotionally and hormonally. Tried and tested nutritional support, Menopause is a range of supplements formulated to be taken during and after the menopause. From the comprehensive original formula with soya isoflavones to more advanced formulations, including active botanicals, calcium, red clover, and night, Menopause provides comprehensive targeted nutritional support from Vitabiotics. With 50 years of innovation in nutritional science, Vitabiotics has been pushing boundaries to help our families feel at their best. With products to suit all stages, from preconception, pregnancy, postpartum, and menopause, with Pregnacare, Wellwoman, and Menopause, Vitabiotics have created an award-winning range to suit every stretch of family life. Vitabiotics want to look after you through their supplemental range and by supporting this season of Stretch Marks. Food supplements must not replace a varied and balanced diet and a healthy lifestyle, and you should always consult your doctor or pharmacist before using.
You're talking about time, and I don't have time to do this. How I experience it is like I don't have the energy field for it, and that comes from having young kids and forever being in my mind. I think who I am can be in my mind too much. Mm. And that's something that as I'm growing towards 40, I probably need to work on more. Mm. If I am to fully settle into that, because so much of what you were saying about how you felt when you were in that period of anxiety and how you felt like so much of yourself was crumbling. Like, I'm so there. Mm. I am so there now.
Yeah.
And I have to look at how to reverse it.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, it's very hard. Like, and I don't think I'm necessarily suffering from anxiety. I think I'm very much suffering from a physical breakdown right now. But it's definitely having an impact on my mental resilience and how much optimism you have, because you just feel so ill.
Yeah.
And going into my 40s, not what I want.
No.
I want energy. I want vitality. I don't care if I have a wrinkle on my head. Can I get out of bed in the morning and still have energy for my children and still display to them what a success in inverted commas life is? And to me, that is like, I have time to display to them what looking after yourself means, and I still have a career that fulfills me to a level with which pays the bills and teaches me something. But beyond that, I'm like, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good, thanks.
Well, we don't have,
I don't need that party. And I don't need that thing.
Yeah.
And I don't need that handbag. I don't need the stuff.
But we don't have limitless reserves of energy. This is the thing, you know, we never have. But I think when you're younger, you just stretch yourself continuously. You stretch and stretch and stretch for friends, for acquaintances, for work, for this.
Validation and acceptance.
That's part of, I think figuring out who you are as well. Mm. I think there's a real clarity that comes with, you know, aging and figuring out, actually, this is who I am, you know, flaws and all, but you know who you are. Whereas when you're younger, you kind of don't, and you're tipping around various social circles and work and family, and, you know, you're just kind of figuring it out.
Finding yourself.
And I think in that period, you know, like I said, you just stretch yourself continuously. And then when you get older, you're sort of brought face to face with your reserve. there's not much in it. So you have to be very, you know, very careful and very considered about where you put your time and who you put it into.
Yeah. Who gives it back?
Yes. This is
who
so
gives the energetic exchange back
important.
And who doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, you need to, you know, I always think with friends as well, especially when you're older. Like, God, I keep saying when we're older, we're in our late 30s, like, for God's sake. But anyway, you know what I mean. You have to come away from social interactions with friends feeling good, feeling sort of like they've filled up your cup. Mm. And I feel like if you don't feel like that, then that's not a friendship that's serving you. Not for anything, any particularly dramatic reason. It's just is what it is. Because we really are sort of juggling so many balls at this stage, work, kids, stress, you know, health, everything. So when you do have time to interact with people.
It has to be really meaningful.
It has to be meaningful. Mm. You really do have to think about where and who you put your energy into.
And ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we need to put it into ourselves as well. We need to have time for ourselves just to sort of regroup and take a minute. And it doesn't have to be any of this sort of cheesy self-care stuff that mm-hmm. we hear about all the time either. Something really small, like, I love making a coffee for myself in the morning when everyone's getting up and I sit and drink my coffee. I love walking my dogs. You know, I love my few minutes of doing my skincare in the morning. Sometimes I only have 5 minutes and that's fine, but that's still 5 minutes for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that is really important, that we carve out a little bit of time for ourselves.
One of the things that we often talk about on our wine nights, and I will never forget the phrase, like, I just remember in one of the earlier times that we went out talking, and it is the topic of perimenopause. And with such conviction, you looked me in the eye. I'll never forget it. And you were just like, it's coming for us all, Sinead. It is coming for us all. And I was like, I've just had a baby. What are you on about? But you're so, like, you're right. It is coming for us all. And with each year that has passed since that, bearing in mind that was might have been when I was 36, I'm now 39. Oh, wow. Is it getting louder and louder and louder as it is coming towards me?
Yeah. But I think we know this, right? It's coming towards us. But I think what we can do is meet it when it arrives.
Mm. I think, and befriend
this,
it.
Right? This is what's important. It doesn't arrive and we go, oh, Jesus, it's here. Mm. What am I doing? What's happening to me? We don't understand what it is. We go to our GP and this, you know, the cycle begins of whatever. I think the more knowledge we have, the more equipped we are, then we just meet it when it arrives and we know. Now, that's not to say we'll have it all tied up, you know, but at least we'll have awareness and knowledge. And I don't think it's spoken about enough. And it's something that I certainly want to know as much about as I can. You know, we can look at our mothers to understand, you know, when they went through it, what age they were. That will have a reflection on us. And when we go through it, I know my mum went through it very early. She was in her early 40s. And until I was working with a brand last year, the year before, that was creating a line of products for menopause, I had no understanding really, you know, aside from the stereotypical, you know, cliched, like, oh, it's hot sweats. Oh, it's, you know, I didn't really understand it. And so I learned so much from working with, it was with Peggy from Ground Wellbeing. Yeah. She's absolutely incredible. And so she actually was put into, you know, inadvertently as these things go, but she was put into menopause early because of a surgery that she had had. And it was super shocking to her. And so she started researching and learning about it. And ultimately, with some experts, created this incredible range of products to help alleviate the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. And so I'm learning through this period. And yeah. I remember Peggy saying to me, you need to have a conversation with your mom about this. I was like, my God, I've never spoken to my mom. Like, obviously, you know, she probably won't listen to this. Sorry, mom. She's late 60s now, you know, like she's gone through it.
Yeah.
She's out the other side. I know this, but I don't know either.
Yeah, but she's part of the generation
that don't talk about it. Right. And I actually called her one day in the car on the way home from seeing Peggy. Mm. And I called her and I was like, Mom, listen, I was just with Peggy and we were chatting about this. And I said, listen, what age were you when you went through menopause? And she was like, oh, I was in, you know, I was in my early 40s. And I said, well, how long did it last? And she's like, oh, you know, a good 8-10 years I was in it. And I was like, wow, that's, you know,
a large portion of your life.
That's a large portion of your life. Yeah. And I said, and how was it? And the first thing she said was, well, I never took HRT. And I thought, wow, you know, and I wanted to, if I hadn't been on the phone, I would have hugged her and said, you know,
it's okay.
It's okay that, you know, but it's that generation. It's
is the insinuation there that taking HRT was the easy way out?
Oh, yes. Okay. I think, yeah, certainly with, you know, some of her friend groups and, you know, the age and the generation that they were at the time. And that's not to say everybody didn't take it. Lots of people did, obviously, but it was sort of a badge of honor that she sort of had for herself.
She weathered it.
That she had got through it. Mm. And I said, God, Mom, you know, that's a long time to be going through that without any sort of relief from it. And she's like, oh, well, you know, it's, you know, it happens to all women and everything. And it was so interesting having that conversation with her because I thought, I'm not going to
self-sacrifice,
sort of suffer through this. I know, obviously, it's going to happen to me. We're going to have the symptoms, all of us, but I'm not going to suffer through this and think, well, I'm going to do this by myself. I will take everything that's available, every experimental drug. I will do every therapy possible because why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know,
give yourself the best chance.
I get quite mad when we talk about this topic because I think, haven't women...
That's why I love talking to you about it.
Haven't we gone through enough? Aren't we going through enough? Yeah.
And now this.
And we're supposed to not talk about it and sort of...
Just be silent. Good little women.
Oh, I'm flying through it. No, I will not be quiet about this when it's happening to me. Everyone will know because it is a difficult period. Mm. You know, it's going to affect people in our life by being around us, certainly. And we need support and we need, you know, medical practitioners who understand it and can support us. Now, certainly I feel are coming into a time of, God, there's more awareness of this than ever. There's more awareness of it than ever,
but still so little.
But still so
little. In the grand scheme of it, because it is such a new conversation that is being having. And look, I am so grateful that I am alive in an era where it is being so openly discussed, and I feel like I can get ahead of it. But I am also conditioned by every woman that has kind of come before me that I'm already, I don't know, is gaslighting the right expression? I feel like I'm already gaslighting myself when I doubt some experiences or differences or changes within me where I kind of go, Maybe that's nothing. Maybe that's nothing. When really, if you were to kind of write them all down, or I feel like I could probably go and talk to somebody about that, but I feel I would be laughed out of the room because it's like,
no.
Oh no, that's normal. Like, you know, sure, go on out. Like,
no.
It's not serious enough. It's not life. Like, I'm obviously, I wouldn't be great at going to a doctor. I would kind of have to have my leg falling off before I'd be like, I have this pain. And I need to work on that. But I still feel like, as a 39-year-old fully functioning member of society, that I wouldn't be able to self-identify with confidence and courage that what I'm feeling is definitely the beginning of perimenopause.
Yeah. Well, there is tools now as well to help us. There's various women that are doing incredible work around the menopause and raising awareness and, you know, helping us track symptoms and figure out what it is. And there's books and there's people on Instagram that we follow that are doing incredible things. And I think, you know, engaging with them and learning through them will help you have a better understanding of what it looks like and what it feels like for certain women, and the variety of symptoms and things that can bring it on, and age, and the importance of speaking to your mum, and, you know, various other things. I think the more sort of tools you have, the more equipped you'll be.
But I think we're so used to being told that it's look at your period for the answers.
Yeah, no, I think that
it's not. So it's nowhere near that.
No, I think that's very, that's quite, I think, an archaic approach, really. There's so many factors involved in this that there is no easy sort of tick these boxes and, oh yeah, you have it, or yeah, you don't. And I really do think, you know, the medical practitioners play a huge role in this, in, you know, welcoming women in and listening to them and saying, okay, well, what's going on? You know, it's not just a case of running bloods or, you know, checking hormone levels. Yeah, they're very important, but there's a lot more to it. It's your family history, it's your age, it's your health, it's, you know, what else is happening in your life, and sort of taking a holistic view of that. And
I do feel quite under pressure, perhaps. Not under pressure. Under pressure might sound too extreme. I am motivated to get myself in as best a condition.
Yeah.
I think I can, because, as you said, it is coming for us all. And I kind of feel like I need to appreciate all the ways with which it's going to impact me, from sleep to energy, to mood, to, you know, overwhelm and, you know, brain fog, everything that's coming, regardless of your period. That if life is challenging now, what might that look like in 2-3 years time when these symptoms become even louder?
Yeah.
So it's like I have no choice but to prioritize myself as much as I possibly can now in this year.
Yeah.
To be in any shape ready for what's ahead, because we don't know. We don't know what it's going to bring.
No.
But we can't, I feel like I can't arrive to it absolutely broken and wrecked.
Yeah.
Because it'll finish me.
100%. I think the more equipped we are, the better. But there's so many, like, there's a couple of things I'd like to mention in terms of what I've, you know, where I've got my knowledge about menopause from, and, you know, my learnings. So I've read two really great books. The first one is Menopause by Dr. Deirdre Lundy.
Which I love. I had Dr. Deirdre Lundy on, I did a show, a contraception podcast for a brand, and she was one of the doctors I met. And I spoke to her for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I just was like,
I can imagine.
She is incredible.
Incredible.
And her book is incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. So that's a brilliant one. And then Menopausing by Davina McCall, also excellent. And then in terms of people online, there's a lot of people, especially in Ireland, there's a lot of people doing great things. But there's two in particular that always stand out to me. One is Victoria Jones, who has the Menopause Pharmacist account.
Yeah.
She's excellent. And also Laura Dowling, who's the fabulous pharmacist.
Yeah.
She actually has brought out her own range of supplements. And one of them is specifically for peri and menopause.
Yeah. And Pegine, of course, as well, as
and
you
Pegine.
Mentioned before.
Yeah.
Who has been such a loud voice when it comes to,
but incredibly loud,
being so open and courageous and just being like, this is gonna happen.
Yeah,
this
she
is gonna happen.
She brought out an amazing balm 2 years ago. So it's a CBD balm, but it's help
delicious.
Alleviate the symptoms of
so good
peri and meno. So yeah, there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot to take in, but I just think it's, you know,
it's coming.
It's coming anyway. It's coming for us. So we might as well be, you know, fully equipped and, you know, and like you said, we don't know what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like. It's different for every woman. But I think the more we know, the better.
But we've been silenced since we were like 11, 12, 13 years old when we're getting our period.
Yeah.
Like,
but, you know,
I think we're done with being quiet.
Yeah, I really would agree with that statement. And I think it's not just limited to, you know, perimenopause and menopause. I think it's a lot of things. You know, I think it's women's health in general, and I think it's women. I think we deal with so much and we go through so much, and why can't we talk about these things? And why can't other people talk about them? You know, people who are on the periphery that don't necessarily experience these things, you know, should be talking about them and, you know, and helping support us as well. And I think we need to be loud and, you know, angry.
Yeah, I am angry that this is coming. I feel like I'm only after getting out of kind of my postnatal era.
Yeah.
And now I'm colliding.
Yeah, but I think the other thing I think we haven't touched on is the, you know, very emotional aspect of this as well, which is that, you know, our childbearing years are behind us once this happens, you know, and, you know, essentially, you know, it's...
But that is tied so much into how we 100% think about ourselves, our sexuality, our youth, our attractiveness, our desirability. Yeah. You know, like we are... Like I had this thought in, like... You say your mother won't listen to it. My husband won't. But I had this thought in a playground recently. My children were off running around. And we'd watched a movie the night before and there was a thing about how like a husband had passed and everything. Okay, so it was just in my head. I'm not actually planning the demise of my husband.
Okay.
But the woman was now like alone and ultimately met another partner and began a family.
Right.
Now, I have two wonderful children. We're all very happy. Everything's great. Everyone's alive. We're brilliant. However, in the alternate scenario that was now playing out in my head, I'm like, God, if anything happened to him and I was to meet somebody else and they wanted a child from me and that was in a couple of years' time, what if my body can't do it? Mm-hmm. Like, what if, like, oh my God, I'm, that's gone. And I think for so long, going back to how we're being silenced from when we're 12, we're also preventing that side of our lives, that pregnancy side of our lives for so long.
Yeah.
And then it's this window to have it. And because we're having it so late, then it's closed. And now I'm kind of approaching it from a like, oh my God, who am I now if I'm not the woman who's thinking about, well, are we going to have a baby or not? Like that was such a part of like, I wonder what's coming next. I wonder, will I get married? I wonder, will I have a child? I wonder how many children will we have? I wonder, will we get pregnant next month? I wonder who this baby will be. And now it's like, and that's over.
Yeah. That's really interesting what you said there about how we are conditioned to be terrified of pregnancy, getting pregnant and so on for such a long period of time. And then suddenly that changes into immense pressure. When are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? Then you have a baby. When are you going to have the next baby? When are you going to... And then suddenly it's over.
Door closed.
I mean, how... You know, it's back to the angry thing.
Back to the angry thing.
I mean...
Door closed. Say nothing. Get
God
on with it.
God love us and what we have to go through. Mm-hmm. Really. And especially, I think, you know, there's a huge... Catholic Ireland has a huge thing to answer for here. The absolute terror and fear associated with pregnancy and early pregnancy and pregnancy out of marriage and all of that, you know, so we're dealing with that. And then suddenly, you know, we're married or we decide to have a baby with our partner or whatever the circumstances might be. And we're supposed to just shake off that fear. Oh, it's fine now. So, you know, years and years of trauma, essentially, and fear, deep rooted fear coming from every aspect of society. Oh, you can shake that off now. It's time for you to have a baby. Oh, right. Oh, great. Well, thanks for letting me know. And then you have the baby. And like I said, it's the next one. And then, oh no, that's it. You're done now. That is a lot to deal with.
But the men in our lives.
Oh,
can
anytime.
Meet little Miss New Boobs.
Anytime.
And start family number two while you're in the depths of your menopause.
Look.
I may have watched The First Wives Club too often when
oh,
I was 10.
Oh God, I love that movie. It's hard, you know, I think life is hard. Life is hard for everyone. Even the people we perceive as better off in some ways live hard lives. It's difficult. I think it's very difficult for women. And I think we are, you know, almost cogs in a machine for a lot of our life, you know, expected to move on to the next level. You know, and it's not fair. And it's so interesting to me to kind of throw in something completely random into this line of thinking. You and I went to see the Barbie movie together. And half the women in the cinema were crying at the end of the film, us included. And then after the film left and we went outside, we were furiously angry. Because this is what we deal with. This is, you know, we're constantly being pushed down, pushed into our box. Stay in there.
Stay pretty.
You know, stay pretty, stay skinny, you know, have the kids, or you're finished with the kids now, but don't have the kids too early.
Be president.
You know, yeah, exactly. Be a girl boss. Be all these things. Oh, no, you can't talk about mental health. No, that's bad.
And be
don't
nice
talk.
All
and
the
be
time.
Nice. Yeah.
Be nice.
Be nice. You know, and don't be too loud. Don't be too angry. Don't upset other people in the room. You know, don't have an opinion. And I think as we are approaching 40, this is really sort of, you know, this has really come into sharp focus for me, you know, at this stage. You know, I feel quite mad, you know, at the things that I have gone through and that other women in my life who I love have gone through. It's sort of this silent suffering, and we're not, you know, encouraged or allowed to talk openly about what we're going through. And I hope that this next stage of our lives will be the opposite to that, and that we do talk openly about this and what we're going through, and it's norm, it's normalized, it's accepted to just, oh, right, and how are you feeling now and what's going on? Oh, well, actually, I'm in the throes of perimenopause. I'm absolutely rattled. Oh, God. Wow. And what's that like? As opposed to, oh, right, great. Well, anyway,
fine.
Yeah. Did I tell you about whatever? Let's move the conversation on. You know, it's a real, it's a very interesting period, I think, of our lives to be in. There's so much change and transition.
And of course, it was entertaining and it was, you know, Ryan was in it. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But what stands out more for me on that night was in the middle of it, I got a text message from my husband that said that Sinead O'Connor had died.
Yes.
So I then, I didn't, I was like, I should tell you, but I was like, no, I'm not, like, I know. You were in your moment watching the movie. But so much had even a deeper resonance.
100%.
As I was watching it.
Yeah.
Being like, fucking hell.
I know. And what a woman. I mean, that was a really strange moment to finish that movie.
Yeah.
And be so full of emotion. And then you said to me, Sinead O'Connor has died. And I thought, what?
Yeah.
No, no. I mean, we talk about going through things. That woman went through it again and again and again and continued to use her voice. And just, oh God, it was so incredibly sad. It was, you know, double the emotions. It was.
And double the anger. And
double,
that's probably
anger.
Why we had to drink so much gin that night.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you before we wrap up, because you talk about leveling up.
Yeah.
You are leveling up.
Oh God, I don't know.
You're leveling up. But you're also taking your perimenopausal self back to school.
Yes, I am. I am returning
back to the kids.
To college. I am a mature student. I love that. I'm telling everyone. I'm like, I'm a mature student.
I'm a mature student.
Yeah, I'm going back to college.
How do you feel?
Very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited for the learning, for the knowledge.
You're going to like know young people.
I am.
And
going,
teach your ways
going
to them.
To, no. Yeah, I don't know.
I see a lot of like one-to-ones where Simone is giving life advice.
Oh God, I don't know. Ranting maybe.
Yeah.
Instead. No, I feel very excited and I feel very empowered, you know, because, you know, back to what we were saying there about being put in boxes and being told what to do. I think, you know, with what you're passionate about and education and what you want to do with your life, it sort of happens very early from a societal perspective. We're supposed to sort of tick that box quite young. And I have ticked many boxes along the way, and then I've completely changed the box, and then I've picked up another box and ticked that box, and I'm really happy that I've done that. I think for a couple of years I felt sort of, oh God, you know, I didn't pick one thing and become a master at it, but I did many things. And a friend of mine sent me an excellent TED talk years ago that I think about all the time, and the topic was called When You're a Multi-Potentialite. So it's somebody who picks up and does different things and is very good at all of them and then picks up and does something else. So, you know, there's no rules to say we can do one thing and be done, or we can do two things and be done. We can do many things. And I think for me, it's been very freeing to realize in my late 30s that actually, yeah, this is something I love and I'm really passionate about. And now I'm going to go back to education about it. You know, you can do anything you want at any age, at any stage, and that's what I'm doing.
And it's skin.
And it's skin. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. Yes, it's skin. Of course, it's skin. So I'm very excited and will no doubt be, you know, ranting and raving about this on social media once I get going. I am a bit nervous about, you know, this routine and the study aspect of it, but I'm just so excited as well. So watch this space.
But I also think it's a mark of confidence when you have turned something that was an interest into a career.
Mm.
And now you look at that career and you say, yeah, but how can I be even better at it?
Yeah.
How can I be even more informed? How can I be even more influential
yeah.
in supporting the people that are either following me or reading, you know, my series in the Irish Examiner? How can I be a better resource mm-hmm. in the thing that I love? And having the confidence to say, yeah, this is going to be hard and it's a big investment
yeah.
in time, in money, in self. You have to discover new parts of yourself when you're back studying again.
Yeah.
It takes great confidence, and I think it has arrived at exactly the right moment for you
mm.
when you are very ready to let go of this stuff that no longer is serving you and to say, no, I want to be even more powerful. And to be that, I need to be more educated.
Yeah.
And I need to have more letters after my name.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sinead, for the very positive words. We may have to increase the wine nights when I go back to college.
You can't,
though.
Sorry, it's a school night.
Yeah, I know to
school
deal
night,
with this.
Sorry.
God, yeah. So here's to the next stage for both of us.
Yeah.
Whatever that may look like.
What, 10 and a half months?
Yeah.
To go until we're 40.
I know, you need to get better and then we can carry on with our plan of having a great year.
I need to get better.
Yeah.
But meeting you, talks with you, kick up the arses from you, they actually all make me better.
Mm.
But as we approach the next few months, I cannot continue to feel like this. I cannot continue to stay as sick as I am. And I really want to reach that time together
yeah.
where we can both be like, we're so ready.
Yeah.
We're so ready for this next decade
mm-hmm.
of hormonal fluctuations,
yes.
of career pivots,
yeah.
of emotional breakdowns and rebuilding. It's not all going to be rosy. But I need to get there. And I am so proud of you, of going back to college. I'm so proud of your multi-potentialism.
Oh, stop.
And you are. Like, you just this courage of like, I'm just going to do this now. And it just works out for you.
Oh, no, it definitely does. And thank you for your confidence in me. But I definitely have flung myself at things in the past and they haven't worked out. But
yeah, but you had the courage to flung. Or fling.
Fling.
You
yeah.
flunged.
But so have you. That's why we're here.
We move. We move. And now we are moving to our next stop, which is coffee and cake.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who wants to join our wine nights? I'm telling you, they are better than therapy. If you are not already doing so, which you probably are, you can follow Simone at Simone Scribes on Instagram. You can get in touch here at Stretchmarks Podcast and share with any fellow almost 40 friends that need this in their lives. Talk to you again next week for the last episode of this series. Keep stretching.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.